pray for Betsy.
Anybody else around?
All right. What a week. What a week. What a week. You haven't noticed, Maddie has an injury. She's got her thumb closed in the door, but it was a gift from her sister. 3 stitches, 4 hours in the ER. We won't talk about the money. But everything's well. She got to keep her thumb. That's a good thing. School. Jim knows some of the story that's happened this week, but we had a week at school this week. On Wednesday, when I left, I made the comment that if we were caught in the movie Groundhog Day, that is not the day I would want to relive over and over and over again. Stun gun found at school, couple fights, you know, high school kids, things happen. Then on Thursday, we had another day. This is the one that Jim knows a little bit about. And both events that we had were because of students who could have made different choices, could have done it differently, would not have been in trouble. That's the frustrating part. And then the one student, it became a mental health concern. He was in my office, and we were concerned he's going to try to have a bathroom in my office. He wanted to go to the bathroom, and I'm thinking, no, I'm afraid you're going to kill yourself. That's how low it got that day. I wasn't finished till 5 o'clock, and I had a 5:30 meeting. So, I mean, it was just a week. And then Friday night, we have the parish thing go on. So it's been personal, it's been professional, it's been general public. It's just been a week. So it got me thinking about a few things. And hopefully the meat of what I'm talking about today came about several weeks ago when we were in Searcy. Heard the minister there talk about something. And it got me on a train of thought. But this week, Friday night's events kind of helped solidify a little bit more. And Wednesdays and Thursdays events, talking about fail versus failure. And, you know, right now, especially after Friday night's events, Christianity, we're in a state of duress. I mean, we're getting hammered from a lot of sides. You see it on the news, you see it in social media, you read about it, you hear about it, and just how bad Christianity is, how bad we are. Poor Chick-fil-A, there they are. They support police officers, they support the military, they support this, they support that, they support schools, they support everything. Their boss makes one comment, and all of a sudden they're the devil. That's where we are in Christianity. And I think part of the problem is people think that as Christians we're supposed to be perfect. I think everybody here knows that that's very impossible to be. We're not perfect. There's been one follower of God in the history of the world that was perfect. One. That's it. He did a pretty good job and he made a great sacrifice. But he's the only one. The rest of us, we're human. We make mistakes. We have our fails. The key is when we have our fails, we don't become failures. And there's a difference there between a fail and being a failure. And because I've not been looking at my notes, I can be completely off topic here, so I'm not sure where I am on my notes. But it's a fail, but it's okay. We're going to define fail, then we're going to define failure. According to the dictionary, failure is defined as a lack of success. Fail is described as, is defined as being unsuccessful in reaching one's goal. The way I take that is fail is you mess up one time. You have one mistake. The kids we saw in my office this week, they made a mistake. Now, this could lead to failure, which means a lack of success. But as we stated with one of the young men, you messed up. You have a perfect record discipline-wise until today, and you're a junior. Now, his mess-up was big. She's not enjoying it, by the way. His mess-up was big. I mean, it's alternative school big. But that's the only screw-up he has in his 2-plus years in high school. And we tried to tell him, you messed up. The key is, how do you come back from this to not be a failure at school? Because he could come back and he could have the rest of his high school career and no problems. Graduate, go on with life, have no problems. Or he can get caught in this cesspool. He can stay where he is. Now, this young man needs professional help. It's beyond anything I know. My goal was to prevent him from doing something that hurt himself that day. But with the proper help, he can not be a failure at life. Now, there's a couple things in here I listed that I failed at in life. They're not very big, like the first one. Failed to win class selection in fifth grade. Check. Gloriously lost. Failed to make the basketball team in middle school. Check. 15 people tried out, 13 people made it. It's okay. I overcame. Failed to come up with a sensible and coherent lesson for today's sermon. Not yet. Give it some time. So far, okay, maybe it's a check, but not there yet. To be determined. Failed a class. Nope, never failed a class. Even Econ 101 in college, freshman year, I got a D. I didn't fail. I felt like a failure, but a D is a passing grade. D equals P, and that's a good thing. And though I failed at those singular events in my life, it by no means means that I'm a failure. And I want to concentrate on sports. 1987, I get cut from the basketball team. You know, it's no Michael Jordan story. It didn't come back and get better. No. I found a different avenue. Got cut from the team. I said, I'm going to be a manager. Let's see what happens. We'll be equipment managers. We'll just see. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was my thing. Then I became a student trainer. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Then I became an athletic trainer. And by being an athletic trainer, I've worked with sports from elementary school-aged athletes to middle school to high school to college, even professional Olympic athletes. I worked in the Olympic team in 96, both wrestling teams. I've worked with the NBA team. I've worked with the NFL team. I've worked with an arena football team. Not the NFL team, but NFL players. I've worked with Hall of Famers. And me being young, I failed to get their autographs. That would have been nice, but, I'm young. I don't need your autograph. Reggie White's autograph would have been nice to have. Sterling Sharp and a few of those other Hall of Famers. Short-sighted. But it's okay. I may have been a failure as an athlete, but I found a way to succeed at what I did. And athletic training has taken me a lot of places. I spent New Year's one year in Fort Lauderdale. The problem was I was the one driving the next morning, New Year's morning, so I didn't get the joy of New Year's Eve like everybody else. But still, been to North Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I've been to Ann Arbor, Michigan. I've been to a basketball game in Ann Arbor, Michigan with four of the Fab Five. Got to see them play. So I've gotten to do some great things through that. But I was a failure as an athlete. It's okay. Found a new way. And that's the important thing. How do we react when we have a fail? I failed to make the basketball team. I found another route. I could have just wallowed in self-pity. I could have just stuck with the academics and been a bigger nerd than I already was. But at least I had that outlet with athletics. I could wear the Letterman jacket and still wasn't cool, but I could feel like I was cool because I had a Letterman jacket. But how I react to that fail determines if we become a failure. And there are several stories in the Bible. And the first one we're going to reference, he failed, and he probably wasn't a failure, but he definitely messed up. But we'll get to that. So I thought, let's look at some things. And last week's sermon was talking about distractions. And I think you'll see that distractions lead to the fails that these people have, that two of these people have. And one of them was referenced this morning in Sunday school. But we're going to talk about Samson. He's made our first case study. He was blessed by God to conquer the Philistines. We're going to be in Judges 15, is where we're going to start. And to make it a simplistic story, make it a Sunday school story for elementary school kids, if he let his hair grow, he had strength, he had all the strength in the world, and he was a man graced with the Spirit of the Lord. And if we look in Judges 15, verses 14 through 15, here's an example of what Samson did. So starting in verse 14, the Philistines came towards Samson shouting. Now at this point, he's tied up. The Philistines think they've got it made. The Philistines come toward him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes of his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding the fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Could any of us do that? I'm going to wager, Eric, you're probably one of the strongest in the room. Could you do it? Could you even get through this group here? I think we'd find a way. Jack especially would. But Samson had the Spirit of the Lord with him, that he was blessed by God. So he goes through his life like this. Then we go on. Samson's still a man. He still is going to fail. We look ahead in Judges 16. After, and I believe the version I read, nagging by Delilah, he gave forth his secret finally. After 3 or 4 times, he gave his secret. And in verses 19 through 21, we'll see what happens when Samson failed maintaining that secret. Verse 19. Judges 16, verse 19. After putting Samson to sleep on her lap, Delilah called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair and so began to subdue him. And his strength left him. She called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. He goes from the strongest man in the world to having his eyes gouged out. He's a prisoner. He's a slave. Because he failed as a man. Now, he gets some redemption here a little bit later. He lets his hair grow out. He secretly lets his hair grow out. And if you go on to verse 28... you'll see that Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just one more time. And let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Then Samson reached toward the 2 central pillars on which the temple stood. Now, he's on show at this point. He's putting on a show for the people. There are 3,000 plus people there. There are a few people here at this place, at this temple. So bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one, his left on the other, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." He pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. So he failed, but he wasn't a failure. He came back to God, and he ended up fulfilling his prophecy. He ended up coming back and killing the Philistines. He killed more that day than he had up to that point. This is a guy that killed 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. So he failed to live up to that promise, but he was able to come back and fulfill it. Now let's talk about David. David's a man of flaws, but David had, as we talked about in class this morning, had a moral code for the most part. He still had his tendencies to be wayward off the path. But he went from shepherd boy to the king of Israel because God appointed him that. He was God's man. He was the guy for the job. If we go to 2 Samuel 11, we're going to read verses 2 through 5. And we're going to see where David didn't necessarily make the wisest of decisions. He failed. He failed as a man. So 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. "One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her." We're seeing problems already. "The man said, 'She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite.' Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, 'I am pregnant.'" Sorry, Papa. Talk about a fail. And he continues to fail. He made a poor decision. He made a selfish decision. And he continued with those same decisions. Things to protect himself. He failed as a person. He made underhanded choices to cover up the fact he had sired a child out of wedlock with a married woman. Not only just a child out of wedlock, but a woman that was married. And he tried to cover it up. To the point that he ended up killing the husband, having the husband killed. So, but he's still a great man of the Bible. He did great things for God, but he was a man. He failed. but he didn't mire himself down in failure. Now, the last example is a guy who was mired in failure and had a moment on a road to Damascus. We're going to talk about Saul/Paul. Saul was a failure. Saul's mission in life was to kill Christians and to kill Christianity. In Galatians 1:13, this is what Paul said about his time with Saul. He said, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it." So Saul was a failure. But he was led to the light and became Paul. And Paul became one of the greatest proponents and teachers and spreaders of the word of God and Jesus. And it was a quick change. It says in Acts 9, 20 through 22, we can see how quickly the change happened. How he began his ministry to spread the word. Acts 9, verse 20. "At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah." So you see examples there. People in the Bible, even people who are godly men who have fails, but get out of it so they're not failures. And that is the thing that we have in life. Each of these men show it's possible to fail in even their daily lives as Christians. You know, we are on that same journey, and we have fails. Sometimes they're big. Most of the time, they're probably little small ones that get us off the path. And the great thing is we have a God who loves us, a God who forgives us. If we still had to do the sacrifices, the burning of sacrifices, how often would we be out doing those sacrifices? But now, after the sacrifice that Jesus went through, we can ask for forgiveness. A person, and I heard a speaker a few weeks ago, it was a Hall of Fame baseball player, Bobby Richardson. He spoke at the FCA fundraiser event. And he was a Christian from an early age. He went through his whole career with the Yankees as a Christian. He spoke, he preached. His last game that he played, the manager asked, "What do you want to do?" "I want to have a Bible study before the game." The New York Yankees. This is Mickey Mantle, back in his heyday, drinking, boozing, womanizing. All the Yankees. And so Bobby Richardson talked about how he gets there to the hotel in the ballroom. The whole team's there. Out of respect for him as a person and as a Christian, they showed up. And he was able to, he had a friend of his come in to speak to the team, and one of the players came forward and said, "I need to change my life. This is what I want to do." Of course, that's the last game Bobby Richardson played, so he left. He went back to South Carolina, lived his life. A few years later, he's playing an old-timers game, and that young man who had come forth went to Bobby Richardson and said, "I failed. I'm a failure. I came forth that day, but I didn't change my life." Well, that's the great thing about having the God we have. We can have that fail. We can, whether we do it at, we get baptized at early age, or if we're like Mickey Mantle, who accepted God the last couple years of his life. That was another story Bobby Richardson talked about. He said he went and talked to Mickey Mantle, who's in the hospital waiting for, I think he'd already had the transplant at that point, but he'd been diagnosed with cancer. And Mickey had said, "I've accepted God in my life." And they had a discussion. And Bobby said he went back to the hotel and just walked in. And Bobby's wife's there and said, "Hey, Mickey." And Bobby said, "Mickey's accepted God." And Bobby's wife went, "Are you sure?" "Yeah, let's go back and talk to him, because I don't trust Mickey. He's lied to us before." But that's the kind of God we have. A God who accepts us from birth to death. We could be 90 years old and say, "You know what? It's hit me. I need to accept God and live that life." And we're ushered in. That's the God we have. We can be fail, accept it, accept God. And we become Christians. So that's what we deal with on a daily basis. As Christians, we're supposed to be perfect. We're not. by any stretch of the imagination. We're not. We make mistakes. I make mistakes. One of the downfalls of being administrator of high school is I think I've told Betsy this. I cuss now more than I ever have in my life, except for a small window in middle school when I thought I was cool. Because I have to repeat what the kids say. I have to quote the kids. And then it creeps in. Get frustrated. And I say things like, that's not me saying it. That's the administrator of me saying it. But I have to separate that. I have to fix that. That's my fail. That's my big fail almost on a daily basis, it seems like, Monday through Friday. From 7:30 to 4:30. It's easy when I leave because the temptation's not there. But yet I get caught up in that. I don't want to be a failure at that. I don't want to come home and say something because I have one parrot right now and I have a second one that's coming. It's amazing what they will say. I don't want them to repeat what I sometimes have to say at work. Because if I have a parent, it's hard to say, this is what they said, and say the first letter. This sounds childish at times. Now, some words it's easier just to say the first letter. But the parents want to hear. So I allow that to creep into me. So I don't want to be that failure at that. I don't want that to be who I am. So that's something I have to work on. But if we have fails in our life, we can fix those. We can ask for God's forgiveness. We can ask for that forgiveness to make us feel better and to let it be known that we know what we've done wrong. That's the great thing about prayer. We can go to God anytime and say, hey, God, I need your help. I need forgiveness. I've done this. This is what I need to do. That I need your forgiveness for. So, at this time, we can take that opportunity. You can take the opportunity at your seat. You can take the opportunity at home. You can take the opportunity whenever you need it to ask for forgiveness that we need for our fails. So we're not stuck in a life of failure. We don't want to be stuck in that life. Fails are one thing. Being a failure is another. And doing the same thing over and over again is not the answer. If we make one fail, learn from it, ask for forgiveness, and move on. So if you feel the need to ask for forgiveness for your fails, or if you want to ensure that you're not a failure by accepting Jesus as your Savior, please come forward as we stand and sing our closing hymn.